This is an IEEE Computer Society podcast. I'm David Alan Greer, and this is a special update for the podcast of the In Our Time series entitled The Marketplace of Ideas. In that original podcast, I was looking at the issues of supercomputers and the state of the art for large-scale processors. Right now, the most prominent and certainly the most visible work on large-scale processing is done on the grid, a collection of diverse processors and peripherals that are used to produce a global computer infrastructure. It, however, is only one part of the many ways of looking at high-speed computing. Two other important issues are the cluster, which is in some way a variation of the grid. It is a group of uniform processors, similar architecture and design, being connected by a tight network. The other, and perhaps the oldest form of supercomputer, is the vector processor. It dates back to the 1960s. It is most commonly associated with the name of Seymour Cray. The Cray computers had their heyday in the 1970s and 1980s. With the end of the Cold War, we began looking to other forms of supercomputers, of high-speed processors. We turned from having specialized devices, such as the Crays, to collections of uniform utilitarian processors. More than a little bit of this research was generated by the economics. It was much easier and much cheaper to work with a collection of cheap uniform chips than to design something like a Cray. The Cray's vector processor concept was the idea that you loaded up a vector of data and you performed a constant set of operations on it over a long period of time. You'd set up one set of instructions and then just feed it data, and the machine would do the work. That concept, while no longer a major part of the supercomputer world, still remains in a large number of places. If you take out the IEEE electronic library and look for vector processors, you'll see a couple of hundred articles in the last couple of years. Vector processing is now quite important to image processing, to signal processing, and to other activities where you get a single set of operations and apply them repeatedly. Grid and vectors are somewhat interchangeable, though indeed quite different. Cluster processors are a collection of common processors linked by a high-speed intercommunications network. They are a presence at a single place or a single region. They also are more uniform. The grid, by contrast, is an effort to link resources around the world to make better use of what we have globally. The insight that was presented in the original podcast, the idea of layering on top of this global grid of computers a virtual machine, so that programmers and operators think of themselves as operating on a single thing, even though that thing is merely a collection of software, has been really the major innovation that has made the grid useful, made it something that is more ubiquitous. Looking forward to the day when, as with the supercomputers, we start thinking of the grid as overtaxed, as we're looking for more cycles for it. For the moment, we still have large programs that take a lot of time from it. But nonetheless, it is a very large resource, which looks to be larger. One feature that it does not share with either the vector machines or with the cluster machines is this global nature. In effect, we are sharing resources from our labs, from our businesses, from our countries. The supercomputer world has been highly competitive. During the 1990s, countries were arguing with each other as to who had the faster computer and who, therefore, was stronger. Scientists were yelling that their research was falling behind because they didn't have the most up-to-date machine, and there was a general turmoil in the field. You can still see that. There is a list, the top 500 at top500.org, that tracks the top processors in the world. It's been going as a website since 1993, but its reports predate that. In looking at it, the changes from month to month can be quite striking. A computer can pull ahead by the addition of new processors, readjusted speeds, new ideas. The interesting thing is the trend over the last 15 years. Initially, it was indeed dominated by the vector machines, by the single standalone machines with a single processor or perhaps a handful of processors that were linked in a unique way. It started shifting towards clusters in the late 1990s, and now that form pretty much dominates the group, or at least has a major place on it. Large-scale computing has spun off a lot of new ideas, and it will always occupy a special place in the field. Still, it represents only a part of what is being done in computer research. It is an interesting part. It is a part that has generated a lot of new ideas that have bubbled out and gone into different aspects of the field, but is only a part nonetheless. You've been listening to a special update to In Our Time. This podcast is based on an essay that was published in the October 2009 issue of Computer, and that is a publication of the Computer Society. More about both Computer and the Computer Society can be found at the Computing Now webpage, which is at www.computer.org. To find the information about Computer the magazine, click on the Publications tab and go to Technical Magazines. Other Computer Society podcasts can be found at the bottom of the page, including the one which was the original in this series. If you have any comments, we'd love to hear them. You can send them to podcasts@computer.org. The music for this podcast came from the Podshow PodSafe Music Network, which you can find at music.podshow.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.